says, remembrance is the secret of redemption. Do you like to eat? Our world seems to be obsessed with food, cooking, flavors. We have cooking shows all over TV. We got a one called the Food Network. We got channels just for food. You see, a good meal is an experience. The food, the flavors, the aromas, the textures, all carefully chosen by the chef to tell a story for the eyes, the nose, and the mouth. But there is more than the food in any good meal. There is a ritual and a story, an intimacy often not found in other social settings. Meals are important parts of life. Meals have a place of importance beyond the nourishment that they provide. Think about the family table, meals together, conversations that are had. Think about all those things that come together. You see, anyone who has been around the church knows that eating together is a very important part of Christian community's life. And this past Friday, we did that. Of course, we asked people to give us a little money for it, but there were times that we didn't. I had one lady come up to me, and she said, somebody told me that you're the preacher. I said, yes, ma'am, I am. She said, well, I don't have enough money, and I want to know, can I get a plate? And she showed me what she had in her hand was a few dollars. And I said, well, certainly, more than anything. And I thought, well, whoever told you should have give you a plate. You know, I don't know who that was, but give them a plate. You didn't have to ask my permission. And another one we give to a few plates to, and I know some at the road. I know people come by from time to time, and they don't have quite enough money. They left something out. I might have $5. I don't have any money. And it never hurts to just say, well, here, have a plate. And, you know, God's blessings and keep, you know, you never know what you're going to do. You never know what's going to happen. So we feed people. That's part of who we are. In part, this is true because meals were important to Jesus. He brought the Christian community together. You know what he did? He ate with sinners. He shared table fellowship with his disciples, and he established a meal as one of the central and defining acts of what it means to be counted among his friends. Most of us invite family and friends over to eat. Sometimes we invite strangers. Have you ever been to a restaurant and maybe there wasn't enough room and people were standing and you said, hey, you know, there's only two of us here, whatever. If you don't mind, you can come sit with us. Things like that, and then you meet people. You share a conversation. You have a time of fellowship. You learn somebody new. You might not ever see them again in your life. But at that moment, you've done something good because it's part of fellowship. It's part of bringing people together. It's part of who we are. It's what Jesus has defined for us. You see, he counted among them his friends, everyone he met. Likewise, at the heart of the lives of Jesus' ancestors was a meal. For centuries before him and continuing today, Jesus' ancestors, his own people, were shaped and defined by the meal called the Seder. The Passover Seder is still a central and defining practice in the Jewish community. Perhaps that is partly why meals were so important to Jesus, so central to the life of the early church. He was shaped by a very important meal. You see, God called Moses to lead the people to freedom from slavery in Egypt into the promised land, that land that was supposedly flowing with milk and honey, that land that was waiting for them, that land that was prepared. There they would worship and serve the Lord their God. The people were to hurriedly prepare and eat a holy meal prior to their liberation. This meal would become the most central and important festival within the life of Israel. It was called the Passover. From that day forward, people were to gather to eat and drink in celebration and remembrance of what God had done for them, to be thankful. Even more in remembering what God had done, they were reminded of who they were called to be and of what it meant to live as the people of God. Yet this was no ordinary meal. They had roasted lamb, bitter herbs, and unleavened bread. All of it to be eaten hurriedly, sandals on and ready to bolt out the door at any given moment. This was no ordinary meal. eaten in homes with blood smeared on doorposts and in the darkness of the night, anticipating what God might do. You see, this was a symbolic redemptive meal. It would define and shape God's people and serve as a reminder of their enslavement, of all that God had done on their behalf and all of the life they were called to as people of promise. See, they were called to a life of promise. This was no ordinary meal. This was worship. This was ritual. You see, this was something they were told to do in God's holy word. You see, in observing Israel at the Passover table, we learned that worship, ritual, and table fellowship have the power to shape us, to define us, to tell us who we are and how we should live and be. Worship helps us to remember and become again the people that God intended us to be. You see, it was likely the Passover meal that Jesus shared with His disciples the night before His crucifixion and death. He gathered them around the table, and they ate roasted lamb and bitter herbs. They drank from a cup of blessing, and they remembered together the story of God's redeeming, liberating work of love. They remembered how death passed over the houses of their ancestors, how they were led to freedom through the sea, how they were set free to serve and worship the Lord their God. You see, Jesus offered them bread and wine, but even more, Jesus offered Himself. Jesus offered Himself, the Lamb of God, given that all people might share in the Exodus, in being set free from the oppressive power of sin and death. At table, sharing a meal with Jesus, we become a Passover people. We come a Passover people. We come together to God's table. You see, like the Jews, Christians are a people of the table. We are a people of the meal. In the breaking of the bread, we remember what God has done in Christ to liberate us from sin and death. You see, our fellowship at the Lord's table is a sacrament. It's a means of grace. It's a point of encounter with the living God and an invitation to share in God's ongoing work of salvation. In the breaking of the bread and the sharing of the cup, we share in Christ's life and are reminded that we too are a community of the Exodus, set free to worship and serve the Lord our God. You see, like Israel at Passover, our remembering and our eating are more than just memorials. They are ways of experiencing now the power, that saving power of that past event, the saving power that comes. In the bread and the cup and the fellowship that we share at the table, Jesus is truly present and offers again His body and His blood. It is food for the journey. It is nourishment on our way. Take and eat, He says. Remember what God has done for you, is doing for you, and will do for you in the future. Think about that. It's food for the journey. Remember what God has done for you, what He's doing for you right this very moment, and what He will do for you in the future. Do we really pray and thank God for the blessings that He has given us? Do we thank Him for the present moment? And do we thank Him for the future that is unknown? In all things we are to pray. In all things we are to give thanks. Think about that. It says, remember who you are. Remember and don't forget, so that you may serve the Lord your God with glad and generous hearts. Remember who you are. Has anybody ever said that to you? To remember who you are? To remember where you come from? Remember who you belong to? Think about it. Remember who you are. Remember me, Jesus said. Remember me. Do not forget. When you eat this bread and drink this cup, remember me and do not forget. Remember that you once were slaves to sin and death, living in exile. But by the grace of God, you have been bought with a price. a very, very high price, marked by the sacrificial blood of the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Remember what God has done for you. Remember who you are liberated to be. Remember who you are liberated to be. You're a child of God. And of course, this remembering takes us beyond this Eucharistic table that we see before us this morning. As it is with Israel at Passover, the table is only the beginning. How different might our lives look if we were a people defined by our fellowship at the table where we truly remember. What might it mean for our lives if each moment our hearts and minds resonated with the realization that all we do and say is in remembrance of our Passover lamb? Think about that. All that you ever do and say. Have you ever said something that you wish you hadn't said? Have you ever done something you wish you hadn't done? Have you ever behaved badly in public? Have you ever behaved badly and someone that you know saw you? Thought you, and all of a sudden there's somebody says, "Oh my goodness, look at yonder. I think they go to Kipling Church. Look how they're acting. Did you hear what she said?" People will find you out quickly. You need to behave yourselves where you are. You need to remember who you are. You need to remember where you come from. If you grew up in my house and you were going out and leaving your parents for a moment on a Friday or a Saturday night or Sunday night when you had to go to church first, and behave yourself, remember who you are, remember where you come from. Don't embarrass yourself or me. All right. If you did want any of those, there was a consequence. There was a punishment. And of course, when you're 15 or 16 or 17 years old, you think you know more than the Lord anyway. Most people that I've met, when they get about, I don't know, 10 or 12, from then on, they just know more than, until they're about 25, they know everything. It's amazing how smart they are. And it's amazing when you, at a certain age, all of a sudden you realize that your parents were not as ridiculously stupid as you thought they were along the way. But you need to remember who you are. Remember where you come from. Remember what it means for your lives when you behave yourselves. And think about, though, when you've done something and you catch yourself and you think, "I know better. I knew better. I need to behave better." You see, my brothers and sisters, the good news is that God has never forgotten you. Not once. We might have forgotten Him, but He has never forgotten us. Not once. How good it is to know that we are remembered. When we eat together, may God grant us the grace of a good memory so that we might never forget what God has done for us. So that we might never forget who we are and who we are called to be. You see, we are called to be whatever. Jesus calls each and every one of us. He calls some into pastoral ministry. He calls each and every one of us, each and every day, as Christians, to be in ministry with Him. We're not in this thing by ourselves. We're in ministry together with Him and with each other. And as Christians, we have a responsibility to be called. Each and every morning, you're called. Each and every day, you should be called to what God has got planned for you that day. Some days it's not easy. Some days it's harder than others. Some days you want to say, "I think I'll pull the covers over my head and stay here." Then other days you say, "You know, I can't do that. I got to get up and get out of here." Remember who you are. Remember whose you are. Remember what God has done for you. You see, the table has been set. The meal has been prepared. It's almost time to eat. Let us pray. Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Allow us this time that is at hand to open up our hearts and our minds and to come to your table and to share. Let us truly be in communion with you this day. For it's in your name I pray. Amen.